Connection class. So I'm honored to have Brother Don in here with us, so we'll keep it going. But Daryl gave me the biggest 10 of all. He said, just pick out one little section and stay with that, you know. I guess he was saying one day of reading, and even that would be massive. We've been going through Acts. We've made it through Thessalonians. We've went into 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. And now we're fixing to, and we've started at the end of the week and into next week, into the book of Romans. And so if you're not there with us, you can get plugged back in. I know sometimes you get overwhelmed with these reading schedules, and you know, we're not trying to be legalistic here. We're really not. We want you to know God. We want you to walk with God. We want you to hear from God. So I would just give you a simple pastoral recommendation and just say, just pick up where we are and get back with it. Some of you, it's been weeks since you've read, perhaps. But you know, Brother Don's passage this morning in Colossians chapter 3, if we're going to set our mind on things above, then it said down there in verse 16 that the Word of God, the Word of Christ, that it would richly dwell within us. And the only way for God's Word, and it's interesting in that passage in Colossians, when you do the comparison to that passage over in the book of Ephesians, they're parallel epistles. And in Ephesians 5, God says, be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. But in Colossians 3:16, he says, be filled with the Word of God. They work together. You cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit unless you're filled with the Word of God. So don't fool yourself. Now, I know the spiritual residence of the Holy Spirit is there, the person of the Holy Spirit at salvation. But he takes residence in our life, but we need to give him priority in our lives so he can guide us. And so as we look and we got into Corinthians, this is kind of, as you've probably noticed, tried to hit some real kind of highlight passages that we've all been familiar with and tried to kind of go with that. And that's where I'm at tonight in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I've entitled this thought, Ambassadors for Christ. Paul wrote that first letter to the church at Corinth, and if you took some time and you read 1 Corinthians, man, I tell you, if you look at that church, guys, I just want to tell you, there's hope for all churches, amen? They are a messed up church. They were a messed up church. But you know, in many ways, they mimic the Church of America today. The Church of America, we have our struggles as well, and we have our issues that we struggle with and we deal with, worldliness, sexual sins, temptation, envy and strife, division that plagued that church as Paul would teach them about the spiritual gifts and say, you're very gifted. But then they would give certain gifts preference over other spiritual gifts. And they were envious of one another. And that can be a distortion of spiritual gifts in our life when we're jealous of other people's gifts, or we're unappreciative of the gifts that people have, and we view only our gifts as being the most important gifts. So Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians how we're all members of the same body, and we're all necessary for this church and this ministry to go forward. And so we see this. And so now in 2 Corinthians, it seems like the adjustment's been made to some degree, and they're starting to be more cooperative. And Paul's gotten word again that the church has heard his first letter. And so now he's moving on to this letter of encouragement and trying to help them stay focused on their things of God. And these are some big, big passages. And so tonight comes right from the text. I've just entitled this, that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ. So read with me and follow along. I'll read verses 16 through 21 for our opening text. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful passage this evening. I pray for preaching grace. Father, I pray for recall of the things that you've laid on my heart, and just help me to deliver this message in a way that would honor you. Father, I know that I'm in need of this message tonight as much as anyone here. And so, Father, I pray that you'll just speak to us your word this evening through your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we look at this passage of Scripture, I told you I pulled the title just specifically from verse 20. We are ambassadors for Christ. I thought about this in the nation that we live in today, and I know we've been made very aware of it just during this election cycle that we've been dealing with. But it seems like that our nation, like many nations, is slipping further and further away from the things of God. I mean, many church theologians and church, I guess, sociologists, as they study the trends of church life and American culture life, we've been made very aware that America is no longer a Christian culture. We live in a post-Christian era today, is what we are, and we can really see that as we look around us and we see that Christianity is now the exception rather than the rule. We're just considered by many in our world just another belief system, not anything exclusive in any way, the way America was founded upon many years ago and the way many of our ancestors were privileged to live in a little bit different time and age. And so as the days get darker, then we as God's children must continue to get lighter. And the darker the days around us gets, the lighter our lives should be. Like a city on a hill, as Jesus described it. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And so for our passage to remind us, and God just to lay it out this way, you're ambassadors for Christ. I thought about that term, and we look at that term a lot of times from a political perspective. A representative of our nation or of another nation will go from one country to the next, and we will be representatives of that nation. And God tells us emphatically here, you are my ambassadors. You are my representatives. The world's going to know about me through you. I've left you here. You are the body of Christ is what we're called. And we talked about that even in 1 Corinthians as we looked at this and we see this. But in this lost and dying world, this world needs ambassadors for Christ who can proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. And that's at the heart of this appeal that Paul is making to the church at Corinth. Yes, they lived in a very godless society, and Corinth was. But so is America today. Our culture today is very godless. And so God is calling us and reminding us here of the life that he's blessed us with. But he's also reminding us of the mission that he's called us to. And so I want to be a good representative. I want my life to be a life that pleases him. I want to take this calling that God has placed on my life and for our church family very serious. And I don't know, you know, if you're mindful of this just on a regular basis, it continues to be one of those things that's always a challenge to me. Because if we're not careful, we get so busy just living life, and even for some perspective, just living the Christian life, that we get a little bit out of balance. Maybe we're emphasizing our own spiritual nurturing, or maybe we're emphasizing other areas of ministry. But involved in all of that, God is saying continually, our focus must be on representing him and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to this lost and dying world that we live in. We can never lose sight of that. This morning, as I was teaching the Bible Studies for Life series in the curriculum that some of our classes are using here at Central, I was brought face to face with this in a different way. Our passage was Acts chapter 3. when Peter and John were going up to the temple for the hour of prayer, and there was a lame, crippled man laying there at the gate begging for alms. And they looked at him and they said, "Silver and gold have we none, but what we do have, we give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Arise and walk." And they proclaimed Christ to him, and as a sign of his very salvation and his faith that he had in Jesus Christ, God performed the miracle of healing him physically. We have people all around us who are laying around literally begging for all sorts of things. And most people in our world today are clueless as to really what their greatest need is. They don't even know what their need is. This man had a felt need. He had a physical need. And many were walking right by him. But the apostles, as ambassadors for Jesus Christ, they cut through the chase. And they said, "What we do have, we want to share with you." And what they had that they shared with him was Jesus Christ. And that's what we have. And as this passage will call us back to tonight and remind us, we've got the thing that this world is in desperate need of. We've got the message of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ that God is calling us to share with our lost and dying world. So let's take a few minutes and let's look at this. First of all, as we think about this primary responsibility of being ambassadors, and we understand this, we see that the word ambassador in this passage is directly related to another word that's mentioned repetitively in this passage, and it's reconciliation. And so it's the process of reconciliation that God is calling us as ambassadors to be involved in. And it's interesting the way this passage terms this, because it's a very unusual term. So as we look at this as ambassadors, let's first of all consider the manner of our reconciliation. He starts out in verse 16. He says, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh." Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, he said, "We regard him no longer." And so Paul was just saying here to the church, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in verse 16, he was saying, you know, this thing, it ain't any longer just about Christ's humanity, because Christ has fulfilled his mission. He's already resurrected and reigning, and he's ascended back to heaven. And so I don't regard Christ merely after the flesh no more. And therefore, I'm not going to look at people based on their fleshly status and their interest in life. I want to go deeper than just what's on the surface with people. I want to not see people just in the flesh or in their earthly body. I want to see what their deepest need is. And so Paul reminds them, and God's reminding us, as he breaks out into this great passage that hopefully for you, like it has been for me, one of the great New Testament passages on new life in Jesus Christ in verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come." I'm not regarding people after the flesh no more, and neither should you. Why? Because you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so God is very animate in this and reminding us and waking us up and telling us that because we are new creations now, God has given us a whole new perspective on life as we see here. He starts out by just talking about our position in Christ. He says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," what a wonderful term that is. And it's kind of conditional here as you look at this, because the word that's used here very specifically in verse 17, it's called the biggest small word in the English language, and it says "if." If anyone is in Christ. It's a conditional word. Some perhaps even here tonight are not in Christ, and therefore the things of Christ are not that important to you. But if you are here tonight and you're assured of your salvation and you know that you are in Christ, that you have fully identified him in saving faith, and now positionally you are in Christ, you are in his family, you are in the body of Christ, the body of believers. He said, if you are in Christ, he said, then that launches you into a whole new life. And that's what he's saying. This is where it all begins. This is the means or the manner of our own personal reconciliation as he goes on to describe this. And so we see that this is our position of being in Christ. See, according to other passages of Scripture like Ephesians 1 and verse 3, we are blessed to be seated with Christ in heavenly places positionally already in Christ Jesus. It's a done deal. I'm raised with Christ. I died with Christ. And he's been talking about this right up in verse 14 where he says, the love of Christ controls us because he has concluded this, that one died for all. Therefore, all have died. You and I, we've died with Christ because Christ died for us. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. And so God is saying, just like Christ is alive and raised and living, as Brother Don shared with us this morning, that wonderful resurrected life, we too are called to live this new pattern, this new way of life as creatures in Christ Jesus, as new creations. One of the songs Daryl was singing a minute ago, it lent a lyric that made me think of even some of the things that Paul had been talking about earlier in this. And he said in chapter 5 and verse 2, when he was talking about verses 1 and 2, for we know that if this tent of our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And for in this tent, he says, we groan, longing to put on our earthly dwelling. Reminds me of what Paul told the Romans about creation itself and nature's groaning. But I like the reminder here to you and I as children of God, if you're truly in Christ, then there's a part of you, you're groaning for that eternal life, for that deeper connection with God, for that life that God has promised you, that you've already inherited on a certain level as we continue to progressively draw ourselves closer and closer to him each and every day. But we see how important this all is. And so being in Christ, we have this wonderful new position. We are joint heirs with Christ Jesus because we died with him and now we are ever to live with him. And therefore, I want my life to please him. And so we have this new position, and this new position lends itself, as I've already alluded to in verse 16, this new perspective. Now I'm not going to look at the people around me as just being sinners. You know, they're sinners who Christ Jesus died for. They're sinners who he sent you and I to share the message of the gospel with. We can't just write people off as saying, well, they're not Christians. That's not our right. That's not our privilege. I'm not going to look at them just according to the things of the flesh anymore. And we're so guilty to do that so often. We just act like they're all lost causes. Well, praise God, he believes in lost causes. Rhonda sang that beautiful song this morning about the alabaster box from Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. As I think about that passage and how that lady displayed deep, deep love for God, that passage goes on to say toward the end of that passage where Jesus said, he who loves much has been forgiven much. And he who loves little has been forgiven little. It's those lost causes that sometimes make the best converts to Christianity that mankind has ever seen. And I realize we get dignified even in our churches, and we still look at people according to the flesh, according to their status. And so when God comes along and he tells us, in Christ, you're a new creation. Your old way of viewing life needs to pass away because why? Old things have passed now. All things have become new. Now we need to see people for not who they are, but who they have the potential to be in Christ Jesus. The potential to be. And sometimes we give up too quickly, and I think this is where this message really headed for in my heart. Because I'm thankful, as I said a minute ago, that our God is a God who believes in lost causes. And Scripture is filled with those people. You can take the Apostle Paul himself. He was known to be Saul of Tarsus. He was a persecutor of the church. He was a murderer. Yet God graciously saved him and gave him a heavenly vision. You can take Zacchaeus, who climbed up into that sycamore tree. who was that outcast because he was a publican and he was a wealthy man. And so socially, economically, he was shunned by the middle class and the lower class, the class that for the most part was following Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry. And they wanted nothing to do with him, but Jesus came right to the place where he was and he stopped and he engaged him. Why? Because he no longer looked at people according to the flesh. We know Jesus didn't. And he's our model. Are there people in your life right now and in my life that you're still looking at through your old lens? Your old unregenerate lens, and you forgot that now I'm in Christ and I'm a new creation and God is making me. He's remaking me. He's molding me into be the man and the woman of God he's calling me to be, so I will see people as he sees people. And really the clear distinction that's here between most people today, as we just simplify it and just cut through the chase, either you're in Christ or you're not in Christ. Either you're saved or you're lost. And that should be our top priority of distinction in discerning the world in which we live in. If people do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, then we've got to do everything within our means as God calls us to, as this passage is going to go ahead and fully explain, to help them. And so I love the emphasis in this passage, and that's the reason God has drawn me to this evening as we look at this. So there is a new perspective, and there's a new position, and there's also new privileges that come with this. And the greatest privilege of all is what we're fixing to see as we move from the manner of reconciliation to what we're just going to show you tonight, the ministry of reconciliation. But before I leave the manner, there's one other thought I wanted to share with you, because as verse 19 enters, and it reminds us of this, I love this. He says, the new has come. And then he gives us a little brief statement at the first of verse 18. All this is from God. You didn't save yourself, so get over yourself. Quit thinking you're someone special. It's funny how Christians get to the point in our Christian service that we forget very quickly where we came from. And that God had to graciously save us. All this is from God. And how did this happen? Who through Christ reconciled us to himself. Through Christ, he reconciled us to himself. And so now we get into the ministry of reconciliation after we see the manner and the means of reconciliation through our salvation, through our justification. As Christ Jesus, he looks at us and he justifies us as being righteous. And so even as all the New Testament writers allude to and they see this, there's this great exchange that's taken place. Because previously we were alienated from God. We were literally enemies with God. We didn't even realize that we were lost, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so we see this alienation that was there. And so God tells us that now, in light of this new truth, he says that God, through Christ Jesus, has reconciled us to himself. God is the one who moved into your life and my life and wrought this ministry of reconciliation to take what's wrong and make it right, because he imputed unto us the very righteousness of his Son in place of our own sinfulness. And so God did this as the merciful, gracious judge that he is. And we need to be reminded of this. We didn't save ourselves. None of us were good enough to be saved. It was only through God's grace that any of us were ever saved. And as Christians, as churches, sometimes we just forget these simple truths. And I know we get comfortable in our Christianity, and to a certain degree, I understand that. But if you get so comfortable in your Christianity that you lose your heart for this lost world, then you've gone too far. And that's what Paul is telling us about here, and he's urging the Christians here. He said, remember that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. What has become new? He's given us a new ministry. a new ministry of reconciliation that we see here as we look at this and we understand the ministry of reconciliation is laid out very clearly in these verses as we see this and as we allude to this. He said all this is through God and he gave us this ministry of reconciliation and then he describes it in verse 19. He says that is in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself. What was involved in all that, God? Not counting their trespasses against them. Wow. God, you were doing that on my behalf? I sure was, God says. And that's what he's telling us. I didn't count your trespasses against you. Yes, you were a sinner. But I sent my son, Jesus Christ, to come into this world and die on that cross for your sins and the sins of all humanity. And so the cross speaks volumes. This ministry of reconciliation comes by way of the cross. The cross tells us so much. It tells us about who God is. It tells us about who we are. And it tells us about how much God loves us to give his only begotten son to die on that cross for your sins and my sins. And so he's defined this ministry of reconciliation, that Christ was in God reconciling the world to himself. See, we were enemies with God. We were alienated from God. And God came very near. And that's what his brother Don mentioned a minute ago as we celebrate each year at Christmas when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. God came very near. And he dwelt among us, and he became one of us. He ultimately did that so he could go to the cross, and he could die for your sins and my sins. And so that reminds us of this ministry of reconciliation that we've now been called into, and we're now involved in. And then he finishes this passage as he goes on, and as I really get to the meat, and just to see as we're trying to round this up, not only has he given us the ministry of reconciliation, and out of this ministry of reconciliation, he goes on to say in verse 20, he says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. And he talked about at the end of verse 19, I skipped over that. He says, I'm not counting their own trespasses against them. And that's how God, that was that ministry of reconciliation, as he explained there. But he says, and then he goes on to say, and not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. He's entrusted to us this message of reconciliation, which is my final thought to the night, the message of reconciliation. What is this message of reconciliation? Well, it's we are ambassadors for Christ. Then he explains it even fuller. God making his appeal through us. Really? It's not my message, no. Never has been, never will be my message. It's his message. And God is making his appeal to this lost world through you and through me. Man, what a glorious privilege and honor that is. That God has entrusted us to this message and this ministry of reconciliation. It's a very simple message because he goes on to explain it. He says, we implore you. I love that word, implore you. We urge you. We implore you on behalf of Christ. Be reconciled with God. Ain't that simple? You've got a lost family member, a lost friend, a lost co-worker, and you say, you know, I really care about you. And what I really want for you more than anything else is that you would just get right with God. That's what that means. Be reconciled with God. You just need to know God. You need to love God. You need to realize what God has done for you in his son, Jesus Christ. But just be reconciled with God. It's a very clear message. Just get right with God. So you can't be right until you're right with God. And that's the big mistake that so many people in our world today think. They think, well, I'm okay. Well, no, you're not okay. And I'm not okay. But God says, that's okay, because I do have an answer for your problem. And it's my son, Jesus Christ. It's a simple gospel message. It's a message of hope. As I've already said, it comes by the way of the cross. It's a divine message because he says, as I've already alluded to, it comes from God, because we implore you on behalf of Christ that God was making his appeal through us. That just blows me away. It's not our message, it's his message. And so we need to be bold in this ministry of reconciliation. He talks about how it's even a persuasive message here. He went on to even expound upon this, and he says, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. That's the full nutshell of the message. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. Brother Darrell led us in a song that had those lyrics in it just a moment ago. What a beautiful song that is. What a beautiful reminder of what our reconciliation with Christ is and what our ministry of reconciliation should look like. And so it is a persuasive message. He goes on in verse chapter 6 as these run sequentially here, saying, working together with him, we appeal to you. There's a persuasion that's involved here. Not only does we implore you, as I've already set up and shared with you from verse 20, but now he says, we appeal to you. And Paul's appealing to Christians not to receive the grace of God in vain. In a favorable time, I listened to you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time, and behold, now is the day of salvation. It's always too late to put off the day of salvation. You should always, it's a timely message, it's an urgent message. Paul had said earlier in this passage, even when he was talking about one day, even from a Christian perspective, that we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ in verse 10 of chapter 5. And then he said, realizing that I'm going to stand before God one day, and you're going to stand before God one day, and we're going to give an account for our life. In verse 11, he summarizes, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. So how's that playing out in your life tonight? Ambassadors for Christ. I've been involved in this reconciliation ministry because I've been saved. I've been justified through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He took away my sins. He gave me the very righteousness of his son, Jesus Christ. And now because of that, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Because I'm a new creation, I have a new perspective on life. I don't look at people the way I used to. But sometimes we fall back and we just look at people after the flesh, and we don't see them as people who potentially need to know God. And we walk by people rather than looking intently at people. And so this ministry of reconciliation comes to each and every one of us. And we are new creations in Christ Jesus, and old things have passed away, and now all things have become new. Well, how is it with you and your new life with Christ? When's the last time you even prayed to God and called out a lost person's name? When's the last time in a morning during your quiet time you said, God, today bring someone into my life that I can share your son Jesus with? When's the last time you've even made an attempt to be involved in this ministry of reconciliation? We know verse 17. We praise God all day long that I'm in Christ, and therefore I'm a new creation. Praise the Lord, I'm saved. But that's not where this thought ends. Because we're saved, now you're involved in a ministry of reconciliation. I've entrusted into your care a message of reconciliation. Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians how some planted and some watered, but guess what? God always gives the increase. So this message and this ministry of reconciliation needs to be a priority in our lives as we celebrate the new life that we have in Jesus Christ. I want Brother Darrell to lead us in an invitation. I want you to stand tonight, and we'll have just a short time of reflection. If there's a prayer on your heart or a need for you to draw yourself closer to God, we invite you tonight to come. Just let God speak to you. Recommit to Him. God, I want to be involved in this ministry. I see people getting baptized here weekly. Wonder who's talking to those people about Jesus. When's the last time you talked to someone about being reconciled to God? That's the ministry God has called us to. If we can pray with you, we'll be here in the altar.